Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Althea Williams. Althea is an Army veteran who served as an aviation operations specialist and served in Afghanistan as well as Germany. She's also the founder of the group She Vets It, where women from all branches of the military can come together in a safe space to connect, converse, and collaborate. Welcome to the show, Althea. I'm glad to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I forgot to mention that Althea is also part of the coalition of veteran podcasters that we have. A bunch of us got together and we're kind of just working together, helping each other out in different ways. So, I'm kind of glad to be in that group along with people like Althea. So, it's a pretty good group and awesome podcasts, awesome content, and people doing just awesome things in the military and veteran community. So I'm glad to be a part of that with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm actually glad to be part of it. It's like a group where iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, it is for sure. Because there are people in that group who are, far superior at different things than I am, or, and we can kind of feed off of each other, get different ideas and ways to help out our podcast and grow and reach more people. I think that's really the key thing there, is that we're able to help each other out in different ways that maybe we wouldn't be able to do on our own. And so, yeah, exactly like you said, iron sharpens iron and makes us all better, right?
So true. I love it. Like you said, that there's individuals that have strong points here. And I think, it just helps you to kind of sharpen your area, the area where you might be weak in that you need to kind of, clean up. So I really appreciate just being among some great, great veterans that's doing some great things.
Yeah, absolutely. So for any of the listeners who may not know you and who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
My name is Althea Williams. I am, an Army veteran. I would say that I'm not your typical veteran. I didn't join at the age of 18. I was about to turn 39. And so it was different for me because I had already had a strong sense of identity. Being a civilian, I, had a career. I've worked as a small business development person. I also ran a chamber of commerce in California. So that was a little different. So going in and then going to war, that was different. It was just a different feel. But I would say it's something that I wouldn't, I guess you could say I don't regret, although there's been some good, bad, and ugly. I don't regret joining the military because I knew when I signed up, I knew what the risks were. I knew that I was signing that blank check. So I knew the consequences of going to war. So again, that was the reason why I joined. I wanted to serve my country.
And at that age, so at pretty much 39, I finished basic training. I was 24 and I felt like I was one of the older guys in the basic training company that we were in. And how was that like going through? And I got to imagine there's a lot younger people who are going through that. What was that like for you when you first stepped into basic training and started off that way?
Well, when I first stepped into basic training, I was like, why no one talked me out of this? Because, I lived my life like the job wasn't really physical, it was a sedentary type of job where I just, sat and used my head. I didn't have to depend on my physical strengths, our ability. And so I went in and I seen young girls that were 18 breaking their hips. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they just broke their hip. I'm a goner. Right. I was like, but then someone said, well, their generation, the reason why it was happening to the younger generation is because they didn't go outside and play like my generation did.
Right.
So, you know, so I had a chance. So I was like, okay, I made it. You know, I had some aches here and there. It was definitely a culture shock because when you go to basic, they are definitely breaking you down and building you up. And it didn't matter that I was 39, had children. It didn't matter how much experience I have, the things that I've done before joining the military. It was like, okay, grab your ruck. We're doing this. PT, we're all the same. So yeah. That's one thing about the military. And I would say, like I said, it was definitely a cultural shock. Really, it really was. And to answer your question about age, if you thought you were old at 24, I was like grandma. They call me grandma. So they were like, no one wanted to, if they were competing, if we were doing something, no one wanted to be behind me. Right. They're like, you gonna let grandma beat you? I was like, really? You guys got to use me like that? So my goal was, you want to be last. You didn't want to be whatever the case. You wanted to always be ahead of me. You didn't want to be behind me. Even if I'm second place, you still didn't want to be like, you still right. didn't want to be behind me because that means granny beat you.
Right. Exactly. That's funny. I mean, I think there was only maybe two other guys who were older than me in my basic training, and it wasn't by much. I think maybe 28 was the oldest, or so, maybe 30. I forget exactly, but yeah, I definitely felt old, with that group of kids, because I'd say kids, because they're most of them were 18 coming in, and in our basic training company. And I had already, like you, I had already, I finished college, I started my professional job, and I enlisted in the National Guard. So I still had that after I was going to get out of basic training, but it was just that culture shock, like you said. It's totally different from sitting behind a desk and, you know, using your brain as opposed to using your body to do your job. So it was definitely different experience, right? But it was good. I enjoyed it.
But listen to this. My son he joined the military before I did. So I was telling him, how did you feel, you know, talking to your friends like, hey, my mom is in boot camp.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so even with that, you know, going to my regular duty station, I was Mama Bear, or in my training, AIT in the Army, I was considered Mama Bear. So I was always that person that people kind of came to for, you know, whatever they were going through, they were coming to me for wisdom. And so, but, you know, after, you know, going to war, I was like, you start losing people. And then you look at the age, 18, 25, 30, yeah. This age. And then you start to appreciate your age. And then it got to the point where, like, you know what, I'm 39 or 30, whatever age I was at the time when I went to Afghanistan. It's like, you know what? Hey, if you get to this age, it's a blessing.
Yeah, because you start doing the math, right? When you start seeing those people who've lost their lives at 18, 19, 20 something years old, and you do the difference and you're like, you know, I've been blessed with this much more. And start to think to yourself, like, I got to do something with that gift that I've been given, because somebody else didn't have that opportunity. They weren't as fortunate as you or I, you know, to be able to live that long. And I better not waste that opportunity. I better do something with it. Right.
Yeah. Someone said, I heard someone say it's selfish to think that we have time, and we don't know. None of us know the time or the hour. So it's like, I think coming back from Afghanistan and And coming back without some of my battle buddies made me think, wow, you know, life is not promised and there's no age limit for us, you know, that we're, you know, we always say, well, when I get older, 80s or this, some of us may, the reality is some of us may not reach that, you know, right, to become elderly, you know, to be in their 80s or 100 or, you know, 70s. So it's like, okay, I need to live each day like it's my last, and I need to make a difference when I'm here. What am I doing to make a difference, to know that someone's life has changed or because of my existence here? And so that's why when I came back, I said, I wanted to do something to make a difference, but it didn't happen right away, because I went through a lot of changes before that. I, you know, experienced a traumatic brain injury. And after experiencing a traumatic brain injury, I went to a very, very dark place. I was already dealing with depression and different things like that, but with the traumatic brain injury, it just took me a lot further, because it wasn't what I expected. You know, I had my life planned out. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to get in, do this many years, and then I'm going to get out. And then when life does not pan out like you have written it out, you know, you know what you're going to do, and you got all these goals and how you're going to do it. But what if that changed? You know, and that changed. And so life for me was, okay, I don't know, this is getting funny and weird. This is looking nothing like I had wrote out for myself. These are none of my goals. I didn't have a goal to get a traumatic brain injury. My goal was not to start a She Vets It, to be honest. That wasn't part of the vision, but I believe God kind of led me into this path.
Yeah, and it's funny how that happens, how you get directed to a certain path to get led to what your actual purpose is, right? You join the military, but that wasn't 100% your purpose. So, you know, that may have been the stepping stone to get you to where you needed to be, right? Mm-hmm. And you got led through that whole journey. And what was it that motivated you to join the military in the first place at that age? Or was it because of your son who joined first, or was it something else?
Well, you know, to be honest, like in high school, I wanted to join the military, but then something kept coming up. Then I actually got pregnant with my son later, and so I couldn't join. Then I was in college, and I was shadowing the ROTC program, but it was for the Air Force. And so I thought I wanted to go in as an officer, but I have one more class that I needed to take. And someone was like, you know, make sure you finish your degree before you join. But what happened is they said I needed to wait another year before I could take this particular course. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So once I waited that year to take that course, what happened is I got an opportunity to, I don't know if I ran the Chamber of Commerce. Then I was working at a research institute first. And so I got hired and I was traveling. And then later I ended up running a Chamber of Commerce. So just lifestyle, all these opportunities start happening for me. But it really, all those different opportunities didn't go to waste, because everything that I did with being executive director of a Chamber of Commerce, working at the Small Business Development Center, it actually helped me for what I'm doing now, because it teaches you to connect with people. I've had to, talk to executives, CEOs of different organizations and connect them and have luncheons and talk to the governor or state representative, bring them in to speak. I was always bringing in different speakers anyway with the chamber and having annual events, you know. So what I'm doing now is probably no different than what I was doing when I was at the chamber.
It's just in a different format, right? It's not in that that Chamber of Commerce format, but it's in more of a veteran focused format, right? So it's exactly. That's cool how all of those things acted as those stepping stones to get you to where you are today. And it's funny when you look back, you can almost draw the path and say, oh yeah, of course I'm doing this now. But back then you didn't see the whole path. So you didn't know exactly where you'd end up and whether or not this would even be a part of your future. Probably not even something that you could have envisioned, but here you are, right? And so all those things lead to bigger and better things, right? And that's where we are today, right?
Yes. It's and that's why I tell veterans and I tell other people that life sometimes may not make sense at times. And I believe that God have us go to different chapters in our lives and different things or different events in our lives, but it all adds up to what you're called to do. So there's nothing that will happen in your life that will not be used. Every single thing that you've experienced, maybe getting fired from that job, but did you learn something from that job? Did you learn something about yourself? Or maybe, that coworker that was difficult, but did it build character in you and how to work with people that are difficult? So every situation is sharpening us for us to be better individuals. So I always say, instead of being disappointed about different things that's happening, use every opportunity to use it as an opportunity to grow and do some inner, just look within like, okay, what can I learn from this situation and how can it make me better?
And that's an incredible mindset to have when even something as devastating as getting fired from a job, you can still look at that as, it's not a good thing, obviously, but you can still look at the positives in that, in the sense that you can learn from those mistakes that maybe you made, right? And then you grow from that. You don't make those mistakes anymore. Okay, I know I don't do that anymore. So now you don't make those mistakes. And then next time you have a job, you're not going to make those mistakes and you won't get fired for that particular thing, right? So you grow and you become a better person that way. So it's a really good mindset to have, because if you're just dwelling on the negatives and this is always happening to me and woe is me and all that kind of stuff, it's not going to make you any better. You're just going to be the same person that you've always been, making the same mistakes, doing the same things that you've always done, and you're going to get the same things that you've always got.
Yes. And one thing about with getting out of the military and experiencing the traumatic brain injury and the PTSD and different things that I say the go away package that the military gives you. So the thing is, it allowed me to, I started seeking counseling, and I have counseling every week, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And that is because I have someone who who's accountable. I'm accountable to get it right. And someone I can bounce things on, off to, like, hey, this is going on in my life, and trying to figure those things out and learning. And the more you start learning about yourself and being honest with yourself and how you show up and how others show up, you're able to like, okay, that was them. This is me. But at the same time, you're very critical too with yourself and like, okay, was I responsible for that too? So it's not always being a victim about anything, but also using every opportunity to grow. Now, we said it's a good mindset, but it's not something that happens overnight, because when you're going through it and you're younger, life ahead of you, you're unsure of what those roads are. So everything that comes before you, you're like, oh, wow, I've never experienced this before. So you don't know how to respond to it. You may not know how to respond to that difficult employee when you really never had a job that long. So you're learning along the way. But that's why I always say it's good to have a tribe of people, mentors in the workplace, or, and so that you can bounce things off, and people that you know that will hold you accountable to be your best self.
Yeah, that is important, because as individuals, we can kind of get a little lazy and let ourselves slide on the things that we might even know we should be doing. But, you know, I don't feel like today, you know, I don't feel like doing that thing that I'm supposed to be doing today to make myself better. But when you have that person who's holding you accountable, it's a little harder for you to just kind of slack off, because then it's like, okay, well, what are they going to think of me now? Right. And not that you necessarily have to worry what other people think of you, but you don't want to be that slacker, the person who just, you know, doesn't put in the effort. You know, and I think about like exercising partners, you know, when you have somebody who every morning you get up and you go for a run with them, or, you know, go to the gym or whatever it is. If you stop going with them, they're going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to find somebody else. And that's going to be kind of awkward to do that. Right. So, you kind of just force yourself to get up and go do it, but it's for the better. It's not like you're forcing yourself to go do something that that's going to make you worse, right? You're getting up and you're going to do that thing that's going to make you better. So, so I think you're right. I think having that accountability partner in whatever shape or form that takes is important to have. Now, you mentioned having a TBI, and you mentioned your PTSD and things like that, and that you are going to counseling. What does the treatment for a TBI look like? Have you sought any kind of treatment for that, or what is that like? I've just been curious to see what that
was like for you. For me, I end up having brain therapy. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, these little games that we play on our phone that maybe seem so light is really helps with stimulating our brain. And then to doing several things at one time, which in the beginning, I would really, really be stressed out when too much is going. I kind of, to some degree, I can't have too much going on at one time. Like, it can't be a whole bunch of noise here and there. It's like earlier there was a vacuum. So it's like, I can't concentrate when there's too much, you know, too much. It could be the slightest. Maybe for you, you could probably work through it. But for me, I kind of was shut down. So I have to okay, I can't process. So going through brain therapy, I was at Walter Reed. And then what else did I do? It was mostly that. The biggest thing was going to therapy. Okay. Because the thing with PTSD and TBI, because they have so much similar symptoms, that, you know, they had to separate what was being caused by, you know, the PTSD and what's being caused by the TBI. And when you don't know what those triggers are, those symptoms overlap. Okay. So I had to be able to separate, okay, I need to kind of find myself and learn what those triggers are. What caused me issues? Like, I'll give you a good example. It happened last year, actually. This is just one of many examples, but this is one. And my neighbor, it was probably 1 or 2 in the morning or something like that, was lifting weights. Had the garage open. It was summertime. Boom. Okay. So I woke up. It startled me. And I'm like, okay. And then I said, okay, I'm going to give him a pass today. So then it happened the next day. It startled me again at the same time. So it startled me. I couldn't go to sleep. And I have, you know, us as veterans, we have problems with sleeping anyway.
Right.
So the third day, it startled me again. And this time, I guess it must have been louder. And I jumped again. I go downstairs to the front door and I tell the neighbor, are we going to do this shit every morning? So now I'm very laid back. So a lot of times the PTSD for me, it gets me so out of my character. You're like, oh my gosh, that's not Althea. She wouldn't do that. Right. Yes, Althea will do that if she's triggered. But here's the thing. What I learned with therapy and things like this is that people are not going to adjust to me because I have issues with certain things or triggered here and there. So I have to learn to be able to adjust because the world around me don't know that I'm a soldier, I'm a veteran and I have PTSD. The person at the store don't know, like, look, I don't want you up under me like that. Can you back away? So the pandemic was a blessing for me because I already wanted people 6 feet away. Okay. So that was like, oh, thank you, Lord. You heard me. You heard my prayer. But minus, you know, the COVID. But I was loving that. Okay. So when I go to the store, I always tell them when they get up under me, because I don't like people behind me like that. I'm like, we're still in a pandemic, you know, right? So back up. So I can use that versus my PTSD.
Right.
But I'm going to go back to the house when I did that and said that to the neighbor. My daughter was like, you need to get one of those silencers. Not silence. What is it? The noise?
Noise canceling or
noise canceler. Yes, that's it. So I said, okay, I need to do that. So I had to make adjustments. Okay. And yes, he was wrong. He, you know, that's inconsiderate for the neighbor to do that. But at the same time, my life is going to constantly be disturbed, you know, because I'm constantly going to be battling with people who are going to trigger me in different capacities. So I have to learn how to adjust. Okay. Maybe I don't go to places go to the grocery store when everybody's there. Go during a time where everybody's at work. Don't go on the weekend to Walmart. Maybe go early in the morning when everybody's at work. So do make some of those adjustments so that I have a little more peace, less stress and anxiety. And so it's been a challenge, but I have to take over and use some of those buffers to protect my mental health, but not hold everybody else responsible for it.
I like that too, because it's similar to what you were saying before by how when something bad happens to you, you take the lessons learned from that and you grow and you become a better person, right? But in this case, it's not necessarily things that are happening to you. It's just things that are uncomfortable for you. You know, the loud noises, the people too close to you and things like that, crowds, whatever the case may be. But you learn from that. Okay, this is something that personally, it's not something that I am comfortable with. And so you make those adjustments. You go to the store early in the morning as opposed to, you know, right after work when everyone's getting out and going to pick up their groceries or whatever. You go, you know, have that noise canceling feature going on, so that way you're not constantly hearing the loud noises and everything. So I don't know. I think that makes sense. Make those small adjustments. It's not like you're making major overhaul adjustments in your life that you're now a completely different person living a completely different life. It's just you're making some small adjustments to make things a little bit easier to manage for you, right?
Oh, yes. Because if not, if I didn't make these adjustments, I probably wouldn't be able to do She Vets It.
Right.
I've had to learn how to make those adjustments because my anxiety would be off the roof. And sometimes I have things that may come up that can trigger me during She Vets It. And so just learning how to work through that, but She Vets It, this community of women veterans and talking to so many different people really holds me accountable to do the work. And that's what I like about it. And that's why I started She Vets It, because community is so important, because for one, it keeps you from isolating, you know, not wanting to go to the store, not wanting to go to group functions or different things like that. But when you come together with veterans and people, your tribe, whatever your tribe is, it could be underwater basket weaving club, but that club, those are your tribe, those are your people, you think alike, you have the same interests. And when you're amongst them, you understand each other. And so that's what She Vets It is for me. So like I said, it forces me to do the work. It forces me to show up. So it's like exposure therapy, force fed. So right. Like, okay, this is so uncomfortable, but I gotta sit through it. But so that's what I like about this community.
Yeah, that's a good part about it is that community aspect where you're not isolating, you're not mm-hmm. just becoming a hermit and just staying in your little hole, right? And it's important, I think, for all veterans. And there's so many different groups of people, and it's not necessarily like you just have to go and hang out with veterans, because like you said, it could be that underwater basket weaving group or whatever. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. That group of like-minded individuals, and for a lot of veterans, I mean, they don't relate very well to a lot of civilians. So it may be a veterans group like She Vets It or any number of others that might be out there, but you find the group that works for you and the type of person that you are. And, you know, if you have like-minded people in that group, that you're going to be more likely to stay in that as opposed to, oh, I got to go drag my ass to, you know, whatever this group is and go hang out with these jerks. Right. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be in that kind of mindset. Mm-hmm. You want to go and hang out with the people that are similar to you, that like you, that you like them, and you guys have something in common with each other, right?
Yes, it's kind of what you just said is being intentional. And mm-hmm. even with like your mental health, being intentional about the people you're around, because there's this phase, and I don't curse, but this one, it says, before you diagnose yourself with a mental health issue, make sure you're not hanging around assholes. So the thing is, you want to make sure, take inventory of the people that you're around. Who are people feeding you, and who do you feel good around? Who motivates you? Who pushes you out of your shell? Who are the people around you that pushes you towards your purpose, being a better individual? And so those are the people you want to be around with, because your energy, you're just vibing, you know, high when you're around the right people. And it's like you wake up and you want to keep doing things. You want to get better. And so when you're around people, Debbie Downers all the time, someone that always got something negative to say, those are the people you need to stay away from, because they're not good for your mental health, whether you're a veteran or a civilian. So I always say, be intentional with the people you choose to be around, and go from there. That you'll be able to find out if the mental health issues have something to do with you, or is it the environment that you're around?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a guest on a couple of years ago on this podcast, and he was talking about how he was in the National Guard, and he lived in the same area that he grew up in, and the friends that he had were the kind of deadbeats, the drug users, and the, you know, they weren't really going anywhere in life. They had you know, all sorts of issues, and he found himself falling into that crowd where he was starting to use the drugs, and he was at this dead end job, and he didn't really see much of a future for himself. And at one point he decided he just needed to pack up and move and go to a different place, find a new tribe, find a new group of people. And to this day, he's a successful business owner, and he's got a nice family. He's got a nice house. He's doing all the good things that, you know, we all dream to be doing, you know, that American dream, if you will. Right. And, you know, he's got it all. But if he just stayed stuck in that same place, there's no chance that he would have ended up as successful as he was. He would have been, just going down that same bad road just because of the environment that he was in and the people that he was around. And that's just a reality. So you're right. You know, make sure you're not surrounded by people who are bringing you down before you decide, okay, this is a mental health thing. It might just be a, assholes in your life thing. You're right.
Exactly. I wanted to bring up a point of, I heard about this flower, not flower, it was a plant. And okay. One was, they were talking positive to you, and then the other one, they talked negative to you. But the one that was talked positive to grew, and the one that was talked negative to died. And it was the same with water. The same thing. It was, the water stayed clear when it was positive. The water that had the negative energy or spoken, it was just, not good. So the whole thing is, it's our environment. The people that we choose to be around impact who we are too. So whenever you're doing the work and you're experiencing trauma, you have to start taking inventory. Now, mind you, I'm not a therapist licensed, so I'm just saying what works for me. What has been working for me was taking inventory of the people in my life. Are these people, when I talk to them, do I feel inspired, or is it positive, or they always something negative? Everything's negative. Then I had to start weighing, who am I going to give my time to? And so that has really helped. And I could determine, okay, I'm triggered right now from some things that I've experienced through my combat trauma versus I'm triggered because someone is just, I'm around the wrong person.
Right. I just remembered something, and I wanted to bring this up. Just in talking about your treatment for the TBI, and you're talking about the brain therapy and stuff. I had a guest a couple weeks ago. I forget exactly when it was, a few episodes back anyways, but he was talking about how hyperbaric oxygen therapy can help reverse the damage caused by a TBI. And the reason why I wanted to mention that is because if there's other people who are out there listening, maybe didn't catch that episode, they're dealing with TBIs and stuff, this might be another option. And just because it came up in this conversation, I just wanted to bring it up. But he mentioned how he found out about it was through a football player, Joe Namath, old-time football player, would be getting tackled all the time, concussions, lots of brain damage from all of that because they didn't have the protective equipment like they do now for the football players. And after years of that, he found himself with his mental capacity starting to be diminished. And he noticed that some of his peers, the other people who played in the NFL with him, were also suffering from a lot of mental issues. And he went to the doctor and he tried these hyperbaric oxygen treatments, and they did a scan of his brain. And before he started the treatments, there's a part of his brain that was just real dark. It wasn't getting the oxygen that it needed to heal itself and recover. And after a number of these treatments, and I forget exactly how many, that side of his brain lit up again. And it was getting the oxygen flow, and it was getting the necessary flow to that part so it can start to heal itself again. And he said he felt like he was young again, where he was able to think clearly and sharp and all that kind of stuff. So the reason why I'm mentioning it is because it may or may not be the right treatment for everybody, but it's another option. And it's something that it just came to me as we were talking. And I was like, I might as well mention it because it can't hurt, right?
Oh, thank you so much. I jotted that down. I would say another thing that I did was occupational therapy, okay, where I learned how to do things, my calendar is very important. If I don't put it on my calendar, it never existed.
Yep, I'm the same way.
Told me about it verbally. If I didn't put it on my calendar, it don't exist. So keeping, learning through occupational therapy certain things, knowing what my weaknesses were, and trying to find routines that will help me accommodate those areas that I would be more concerned of. But I do know for me is stress. Stress and sleep are the biggest things for me. So those symptoms, when I'm more stressed, making sure I'm away from people that will probably be stressful or stressful environments, that will trigger things. My symptoms become a little more apparent. So I definitely will write the hyperbaric that out. Definitely write that down. But yeah, occupational therapy was another one that I did. But having a routine is a big deal. But my doctor was also saying, you know, staying active and exercising, keeping that blood flowing, you know, in your body, that helps. Eating right, having the right foods. You know, you eat a lot of junk, a lot of sugar, and then you're not sleeping. You already know you don't sleep good, but then now you add a bad and poor diet, and then you're not exercising as well. Then your body's not going to function. Even if you don't have a traumatic brain injury, your body's not going to function well when you're not eating right.
Yeah, you're never going to be 100% if you're, you know, eating Oreos and chips and, you know, all that kind of crap and drinking sodas and everything. And you're just not going to function to your fullest potential. And, you know, add on not exercising to that, then it's just going to make things worse. You know, it's not even like you get a chance to burn off that, the junk calories or anything. You just sit there with it. So
but the thing with the PTSD is that when you, if you're triggered, some of those symptoms from the TBI pops up.
Yeah.
You know, the forgetting, the losing and that. So balancing the PTSD is just as important as balancing, you know, the other things that we talked about, you know, exercise and things like that, because the PTSD can trigger things that look like your TBI as well, you know, for forgetfulness, your cognitive, not thinking, you know, well, and things like that.
Yeah. And I think I've heard of some people where they've actually been misdiagnosed with either PTSD or TBI because the symptoms just cross over so much, and it's, they're so close that it sometimes it's hard to tell which one is which and where, like you were saying before, you know, what is triggering this particular symptom that you're having? Is it the TBI or is it the PTSD? And it could be hard to tell. Yeah. Right.
Oh yes, definitely. But I know with mine, they were able to see through the MRI that, yeah, okay, she's experienced a TBI. But you know, there's some healing that takes place, but what someone told me, not a neurologist, but a doctor told me that, you know, what you're doing, what she vets it, you're always online and you're doing this and doing that. You're actually helping to heal yourself because I'm doing things with my brain that it was in the beginning last year, it was so, so stressful to do what I'm doing. It's still stressful, but it's more tolerable than last year. But last year was really like, it was like muscle fatigue doing the things that I'm doing now. But I have a system which actually helps me not to be as anxious, and I control my own time. So it makes it a lot easier for me.
And it almost sounds like when you first start exercising, like lifting weights or something, at first, it's really hard and you get that muscle fatigue and your muscles are sore and it's stressful on your body. But then over time it gets easier as you build up that muscle and you get better at it. And it's kind of like that. I would imagine, anyways, I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine like with your brain, the more you're doing this type of activity, the more your brain gets used to it, the better you end up getting at it. And the easier you're able to function doing that type of stuff, right?
Exactly. I just make sure that things that I do, they're on set days at the same time. Fridays I use for, you know, interviews or following up, but other days it's the same day, the same time for the same topics. And that actually helps me versus having too many different things go on. Cause then that's when I'm like, okay, this is too much. So I have to really, really have a schedule that works for me.
That's fun. Yeah. That's, I mean, it's good that you have that ability to have that kind of schedule and that structured routine in your day-to-day life. Right. Because I can imagine that that is the way that a brain starts to heal itself is gets used to those routines and that those patterns and it is necessary in that, you know, way that you're trying to heal yourself. Right.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit more about She Vets It. We kind of danced around a little bit here and didn't really get too into it. So tell us what it's all about and what sparked you to create it. I know you said earlier that it wasn't something that was even on your radar years ago, but here you are and this is where you're at now. So what's it all about and what got you into it?
Wow. With She Vets It, it actually started, I shared earlier that I was in a really dark place after, you know, getting the traumatic brain injury. I couldn't remember people. I would have someone that like I've went in the military with or someone that I should know. I wouldn't remember who they were. And it was really, you know, I joined the military. I had my MBA. You know, I'm pretty sharp, you know, I've, you know, been pretty successful on the outside and I come in and now I'm at a point and place in my life where I don't function the same. And so that kind of pushed me into depression because I didn't know what that meant for my life, right? You know, like when you're no longer the person you used to be, you know, you start even thinking about your own mortality. You know, right. You start thinking like, does this mean this is it for me? You know, like, am I done? Like, there's nothing else for me. And so I looked at this movie and I always say it is The Shack. And I saw that movie and it really, it did something. It just choked me up and it just kind of gave me a little spark. You know, I saw a little light. And so I was in a women's veterans group and an 8-week program. And there was other veterans and we were talking about our trauma and things like that. And every day we cried. And it was a camaraderie that I had with them that I knew I was about to get out the military because I was getting medically retired. And I was like, gosh, I want to keep this camaraderie. Like, I don't think I would be able to have this connection with civilian friends because they didn't experience loss. They didn't lose, you know, battle buddies in war. You know, they don't know what it's like to be away from their family. They don't know all the different things that come with being a veteran. So I was like, gosh, I just need to be around people I can relate to. So I end up starting a meetup group. And then I also started putting information out on Instagram about different programs out there because I was thinking I was turning 39 and I was thinking I couldn't, it was tough on me and it almost took me out. How much harder is it for the young soldier that joined at 18 and haven't yet, you know, form their identity to know who they are. So I was thinking, I was like, gosh, I wanted to do something to help that soldier because I was thinking that it was going to be important for me, for my survival, was to be amongst people I can relate to. And so it was like finding people that will hold me accountable to be well. And so that's why I realized the importance of community was so, so important. And that's why I thought too, bringing other people into that community, if they were feeling like I felt, it would probably push them to their purpose as well. And so, yeah, that's pretty much why I started She Vets It.
Yeah, and it's not just helping yourself, although it is doing that too, but it's helping all those other people who might have just been isolated and felt like they had no place to turn for that community, for the camaraderie, for the group of people who will push them to get better. Right.
Exactly. It's like my battle, but like, it's creating a battle buddy system, accountability partners, you know, in life. And someone said, and I think it was Dr. Crabb who said that, you know, by nature, animals, like, you know, you see dogs or whatever, they have packs. And so in the military, we have a pack. You know, we have this army pack or Air Force pack. It's a pack of us. But when you take off that uniform and your pack is still in the you know, in on base, and you have to take that uniform, you lose your pack. And now you're looking at the world and trying to figure out, what does my life look like now? And so now it's like finding an identity outside of the military. And you don't necessarily always get that help on how to transition. Rather, you could get a job out of the military, but there's still a psychological of looking back and reflecting. Oh, wow. Reflecting on the years that you put in, whether it's 20 years, 15 years, or 8 years, you're going to naturally reflect. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what those were the things that I just think that having accountability partners to help you pull you along, because everything on base is given to us. We have our battle buddies, we have our NCOs, everyone that check on us and take care of us. But when you get out, you're left to the world. You may have family, friends that you can't relate to. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to be able to plug in somewhere to people that you can connect to and help you navigate through the civilian world.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I've always said that the military does a great job at helping the service members put on the uniform, right? They train you to be a soldier or a Marine or airman, whatever your branch is. They train you how to do your job and do all the things that you need to be successful in the military. But they don't always do a great job at helping us take off the uniform in that transition to veteran status. And that's the part where I think groups like She Vets It and other veteran-based organizations fill that need, where there's people who they feel like they're just wandering, like they're lost. They don't know where they're going next, right? And you have that group of people who can help guide them, be that accountability partner, just be there to talk to, bounce ideas off of, whatever. Yes. And that's, I think, just really important. And again, it's going back to that tribe, that group of like-minded people, similar backgrounds, similar experiences maybe, and they want each other to succeed. And so, you know, getting involved in that group, it's not, you're not there, you know, just to promote your own agenda. You're there to help people too, right?
Yes, definitely. And that's why I always tell people that it's really not about me with She Vets It. To be honest, I'm more of a behind the scene person. No one ever see me, I'm okay. If I could accomplish everything that I want to accomplish without being out there, I would definitely do that. But I have people that are like, Althea, no, people need to know why you do what you do, and they need to know who you are. And I'm like, okay. So here I am telling my story and why She Vets It is so important to me. And like I said, it started with me knowing the importance of community and knowing the importance of community as it relates to healing those and helping those to find their purpose, especially when you're around the right group of people. Like, I see people that were part of She Vets It, the online scene, and I'm just seeing people just thriving in so many different ways because, you know, I bring in guest speakers every week and they talk about entrepreneurship, mental health and wellness, career opportunities, maybe in TV and film or maybe in other industries. So there's various topics every week. And so I can see the ones that have been the most consistent. I can see the transformation. You know, it's like we're pushing each other. And even I could see the transformation when I first started to now. I look at pictures and I'm like, ooh, Lord. And then I see now, like, okay, you know, and it was different people that I had on that may have sparked some things in me to, okay, I got to do this. Like, for me, one thing that I learned, her name is Shannon, And Shannon with the Mocha Yoga, she'll remember she came on and she would do mindfulness journaling prompts every week for me. And she did it last year. She did one where she was talking about having a mental health toolkit. So having a toolkit of things that bring you joy and happiness. And so I'm like, okay, well, what makes you feel good? And I'm like, I love flowers. I love lavender tea. I love this. I love the beach. I love. So whenever I'm feeling down, what do? I get dressed and I go down to my favorite cafe and get a lavender tea. Or days that I want to say, you know what? You didn't quit. You didn't give up. I go and buy myself flowers. I don't wait for other people to buy flowers for me. I buy myself flowers because someone said something in one of the rooms is that we come here into this world by ourselves and we're going to leave by ourselves and we got to be our best cheerleader. We got to be our best friend and we got to love ourselves more than anybody else. And people can't love us if we don't love ourselves. So the way I love myself is how I tell people to love me. So guess what? I'm getting myself flowers. You did a good job. I'm not going to wait for Scott to tell me you're awesome. Althea, you are awesome. You showed up. You showed up this year. Last year was tough for you. You didn't quit. You stayed with She Vets It. Even when things were triggering, you didn't quit. Even when you wanted to fold, you didn't. And you know what? I'm proud of you. And those are things that I do for myself. But those were different people that came into my life and in my platform and shared those tips and tools of wearing your good clothes. I've learned, you know, the days I'm feeling depressed or down or more triggered, like the last couple of weeks, is the anniversary of my battle buddies. And so I had a really bad day Tuesday. So I didn't do my regular room on Tuesday. And so those days is I still get up, still don't stay in the bed, take a shower, do the best, like I'm going somewhere really great, wear the new shirt, new shoes or whatever, look nice, even if I don't feel like it. And so I notice when I practice that every day, I look at the pictures, I'm like, oh, I could tell the transformation. But that day I remember I looked my best, but I was feeling horrible. But you know what? I looked my best, but it's not about suppressing those sad things, but it's actually making sure that my mind and my body can catch up with each other. You know, I know you feel crappy right now, but you know what? Your mind has to start catching up with what you feel like. I feel good in this outfit. I feel good in this. And I start overlooking all those other things and start embracing feeling good.
That's a lot. That is something that is hard for someone to do, someone who is just struggling to get out of bed, right? To take a shower, to go eat breakfast or whatever. But that transformation that you're talking about takes place and your mind starts to catch up with the fact that you actually do give a damn. You actually do want to get better and your mind starts to, I don't know what it is, but you know, maybe just reorganizing some of the crap in your brain and saying, okay, let's focus on the good stuff right now. Let's focus on what we're doing here. And you know, I think that's powerful, you know, and just small little things like just putting on the good clothes and starting off the day right could change the whole outlook of the day.
Oh yeah, cleaning your room, you know, like cleaning the house, cleaning your room when you're feeling out of sorts. Those little things that we take for granted that can kind of change how we feel. And so whenever I feel kind of out of tune, it's like, okay, let me make sure my environment is good, make sure I, you know, clean up a little more, make sure I invest in myself more for the day. And I just put a little extra in it so that I feel good. And if a lot of times it may not be anything other than, like I said, the last couple of weeks, my battle buddies. So I kind of battle with that. Even if I try to forget it, my body, as the book says, your body remembers, you know, And so even when I forget and I'm like, wow, why am I feeling really down right now? And, you know, so those are things that I'm working on. Am I where I should be? Probably not, but I'm definitely not where I used to be.
Well, it's progress. It's all another stepping stone to get to where you need to be. And take it for what it is. It's another one of those lessons. It's another one of those paths along the way in your journey. And I have no doubt that you'll get to where you need to be. You know, I think we'll all get to where we're supposed to be at some point. It may not happen as fast as we like it to happen. We do live in a society that's very on demand. You know, you order something on Amazon, it gets there the next day, or, you know, even sooner. You know, so, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time. But ultimately, we will get to where we need to be. Mm-hmm. When the time is right. So it's just a matter of patience and trusting the process.
Yes. And that's what I was saying with Sheba, that it really holds me accountable to, like, you know, I got to do the work. Yeah. You know, be around people that's going to hold you accountable to be right, to be well. You know, if you have kids, they hold you accountable. You know, I have children, I need to show up. Yeah. You know, or if you don't have children, you know, be amongst people that are not going to let you just stay in the bed all the time. That's going to force you to get out and, like, no, you need to go out, and we're going to the beach today. Well, yeah. I'm in Texas, but, you know, that would be nice. But anyhow, you know, we're flying to California and going to the beach. Right. Got that friend. Tell them I want to be friends too. Fly me to California.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, have people in your life that want to see you win. You know, find, don't isolate. And so let me tell you about men. One thing about men will stay to themselves. Women, we're natural connectors. And men, you know, they'll shoot the breeze with a guy, but it's really, hey, how you doing, whatever. And then they're back home with the spouse, mm-hmm. or whatever. But women, we make connections. And that's where it's tougher for men, because they don't connect like we do. But even with me being a connector, it was hard, because we, as veterans, we will still want to isolate, and we don't want to connect. So I know the importance for us men and women, and to my brothers in arms that's listening, is, you know, find people that are like-minded. Don't find the friends, that the people that are on drugs, that are doing bad or whatever. Find someone that you look up to, that you admire, that, wow, you know, I like what they're doing. Be intentional about those friends. Like I tell my children, my adult children, be intentional about the relationships that you form in your life. You know, people you can grow from. Iron sharpens iron. Like the veteran correlation is, we, you know, I have strengths that I can share with you, Scott, and you have strengths that you can share with me where I'm weak, or vice versa. And those are the people you want to be around. Get a mentor, connect with your purpose, find out what you're here for. Once you find out what your purpose is, a lot of times when you don't know what your purpose is, after getting a traumatic brain injury, not being the same, I didn't know what my purpose was. I was like, what is my purpose? I knew who I was before it, but I didn't know. I am not sharp like I used to be. There's certain things I can't, you know, I can't deal with stress like I used to, and certain things I can do, certain things I can't do. So now, who am I? I had to learn who I was all over again. It was a new introduction. I went through a grieving process of grieving the old self, but I had to be an acceptance to the new person. I'm Althea. And yes, I may not remember you, Scott, if I see you in person, but you won't hold it against me. But I used to beat myself up when I couldn't remember someone's name or certain things. But now I'm like, it is what it is. It's not my fault. I can't, you know. And so people that really knows me, they know, and they accept me for whatever my weaknesses are. And so I go, like, I had an interview with someone, and it was Rocio. And I knew it was Rocio. And then I said, Rosario. And then we already talked it through. And then what do? I go and say, Rosario. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's like, sometimes there's certain things that wouldn't have happened. The old me was sharp, was on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like the go-to person for every, you know, but learning who I am and being in acceptance of who I am, being okay with not being perfect. And that is, I think that's why I'm able to do what I'm doing now, is just learning to not be perfect. And that's the training I'm getting with you when you podcast, is learning, being okay to be authentic and not be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's a great message. Well, before we wrap this up, it's been a pleasure, first off, speaking with you today. I think we could go for hours talking together, and I think this episode could definitely be a multi-part series if we let it keep going. But I want to give you a chance to let people know where they can get in touch with you and find out more about She Vets It.
Yes, you can check me out at shevetsit.com. Make sure you subscribe, and I'm having some really great things that's coming up. So I would love for you all to subscribe so you can stay in contact with what I'm doing. And then also, I'm coming out with, it's going to be launched pretty soon, and actually on Women's Veterans Day, and it's He Vets It and She Vets It shirts. So. Okay. And the reason why I want to do that is that movement, because a lot of women don't self-identify as veterans. And so a lot of times we wonder why people never really acknowledge us when we're in the VA. Well, a lot of times we don't self-identify as veterans in general. And sometimes when there's events, a lot of us don't show up. The males, I went to a golf tournament. It was 144 men and only 10 women veterans.
Oh, wow.
So we don't show up all the time, but I want to create a movement where we are proud to say, hey, I'm a veteran too. You know, she vets it, I vet it. And then, you know, if you got a husband who's a dual military, he vets it. So you already know, like, we may not wear the hat, women may not wear the army or whatever, because, you know, a lot of times we don't want to mess up our hair. So if you have that t-shirt, it's very fashionable. And then it's She Vets It and He Vets It. So definitely looking forward to doing that. But definitely follow me on all social media platforms, She Vets It. And yeah, look forward to connecting with you all.
Yeah, and I'll have links to all of this in the show notes as well. So anyone who's looking at reach out and get in touch or get involved with She Vets It, definitely check out the show notes. You'll be able to find all the links there. And again, it's been great having you. I'm really glad that we got to connect, and really glad that we got to sit down and have a one-on-one with this episode.
Oh, well, I am so glad that I had the opportunity to come on. It was definitely my pleasure. Thank you so much for your service and for what you are doing. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.